And everybody said,
amen.
Father, we thank you for the workers training tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the commitment of your people, your servants, our workers. We're asking, Lord, that tonight you give us understanding. Inspire everyone as you reveal your might to everyone tonight in Jesus' name. Grant us, Lord, to move on, soar on, labor on in your work, in your service, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, your work will bear fruit in every heart, every life, every local church, in the whole church together, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we're looking at the words of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus for his disciples, for the early apostles, for you and for me. And it's in John chapter 17. We're starting with verse 17. And verse 21, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then in verse 21, it says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou has sent me. If you put those two verses together, verse 17, verse 21, it says, sanctify them that they may be one. Sanctify them that they may be united. Sanctify them that they may be one in Christ, one for Christ, one with Christ. When we're sanctified, we are more than one, but we are one in Christ. We're one for Christ, for the sake of Christ, and we're one with Christ in everything that he calls us to, in everything he commands, in everything he has committed into our hands. Once again, sanctify them that they may be one, that they may be one in purpose, that they may be one in practice, that they may be one in pursuit. When we're sanctified and we become one with one another and one with Christ, our purpose becomes one, our practice becomes one, and our pursuit, the things we diligently rush after, reach after, search after, pursue, they become one. Look at that. Sanctify them that they may be one, one in heart. There's no hypocrisy when we're sanctified and we're one with one another, and we're one in Christ, one in heart, one in hope. We have the same hope because we're hoping for eternal life, hoping for heaven at the end of the journey. One in heavenly mindedness. When we're one, we're so united that the things that bring division, diversion, digression, everything is washed away from the heart. Everything is so taken away that our heart is one. One in the harvest he has called us to, and one in the calling that he has given unto us. Look at this. Sanctify them that they may be one. No matter how many we are, when we're sanctified, we're in one accord. One accord. We sit together in one accord. We labor together in one accord. We read and study and learn and take in the word of God in one accord. We're one in affection. We set our affection on things in heaven, not on things on earth. He purges us. He cleanses us. He removes all the dregs and all the drugs of the world away from our heart. One accord, one in affection, one in assignment. He has given us an assignment, and in that assignment, we're all together. We're united, and we're going the same direction in pursuit of the fulfillment of that one assignment. Look at that. Sanctify them, that they may be one. When we're sanctified, we're one in doctrine. We don't believe divergent things. One believes up, the other one believes down. One believes in holiness, the other one believes it's not possible anytime for anyone to be holy. When we're sanctified, we're one in doctrine. We're one in our deeds, that is, in the things we carry out, in the things we do, and we're one in devotion. Our heart is set on doing what the Lord has commanded that we do, one in doctrine, and one in deeds, and one in devotion. Yeah, and if you want to know whether you are sanctified or not, you find out in your own heart, in the depths of your heart. Are you one in Him, for Him? And are you one with Him? You find out in your heart, are you one in heart with the people of God, and one in hope, and one in heavenly mindedness? Are you one in purpose? Are you one in passion? Are you one in pursuit with the people of God? Are you one in one accord, in one assignment? And are you one all in affection? And so, as we look at this today, we don't just want to study and stuff things in the head. We want to have the experience in the heart. Sanctify them that they may be one. Three things we're looking at in the message today. Number one, conversion in and through salvation. Number two, consecration before and after sanctification. Number three, conservation for and in His service. We're looking at number one. Number one, conversion in and through salvation. We're looking at John chapter 17, reading from verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 7, it says, now they have known that all things whatsoever that was given me are of thee. In verse 8, for I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known that surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Conversion. They were converted. There is salvation. In that salvation, there's conversion. Through that salvation, there is conversion. Look at three things. Number one, repent and forsake the world of sin. Number two, restore and be free from the wages of sin. Number three, resolve and follow the way of salvation. Number one, repent and forsake the world of sin. In John chapter 17 verse 14, the Lord said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In verse 15, it says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Lord emphasized that he had called those disciples, as well as he has called us, out of the world, and he has brought us into the kingdom. In the world there is darkness. He called us out of the darkness of the world. In the world there is sin. He called us out of the sin of the world. In the world there is evil. He called us out of the evil of the world. In the world there is demonization. The devil operates in the lives of people, operates in the character of people, and he calls us out of the devilishness of the world. The daring devilishness of the world, the Lord has called us. In the world there is damnation and condemnation, and the Lord has called us out of that condemnation and out of that damnation. He's called us out of the corruption in the world. That's why he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If we are truly converted, if we have got the salvation of the Lord, all the things that the devil, the flesh, and the world, that they bring together and they present to the people of the world, he sets us free. That's what conversion means. And it's a change, that we're out of the world and we're into the kingdom of God. In James chapter 1, reading from verse 26, it tells us, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Deceiveth his own heart. It is possible for a person to deceive his own heart. I'm a Christian when he's not Christ-like. I'm a child of God when he does not live like a child of God. I am going to heaven when the grace from heaven has not had any part in his life. It is possible for one to deceive himself. It says, if any man seem to be religious and bright, let not his tongue. He uses his tongue in slander, in lying, in evil, in deception, and he deceives himself, say, born again. It says, this man's religion is vain. In verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Look at this. And to keep himself, that's salvation, to keep himself, that's conversion, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Why does he need to keep himself unspotted from the world? James chapter 4 verse 4, it says, know ye not, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's why it says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, and it says, love not the world. When you are born again, when we are born again, when we are converted, when the salvation of God reaches into our hearts, it takes the love of the world away from our heart. We love the people there because they say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in the world. But we hate, we do not love the pollutions of the world, the corruptions of the world. We do not love all the sinful things and the dark things and the occult things and the evil things that the people of the world do. We're totally separated from them. We're totally disengaged from them. And the grace of God comes into our hearts. We do not love the corruption, the pollution, the evil, and the degradation of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world in his heart, if any man, if any woman, if anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the world and the love of the Father cannot exist, cannot abide, cannot subsist in the same heart at the same time. And then in verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. In verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is in our heart, then the love of God is not in us, and we're not doing the will of God, and we cannot abide forever. When we repent, we also forsake the sin of the world. We're looking at number two here. Number two here is to restore and be free from the wages of sin. It tells us in Luke chapter 19 verse 8. In Luke chapter 19 verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The world is full of grabbing people. They want to get, and no matter what they have, they still want to get from other people. They'll steal from other people. They will kind of run after the people, and by violence and by their worldly method, they'll take what belongs to other people. And that's the characteristic of the world. We'll take the money that belongs to other people, the certificate that belongs to other people, the honor that belongs to other people, the position we impersonate, the position that belongs to other people, the authority and the right that belongs to other people. It's the character of the world. It's the attitude of the world. And Zacchaeus said, I am coming to the Lord. And as I'm coming to the Lord, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. Have you thought about it in your life? What you have taken from other people, maybe money, maybe other people's certificates, maybe other people's land, maybe other people's daughters, maybe other people's wives, maybe other people's authority, whatever it is, you have unlawfully taken from any man, from any woman, from any family, from any church, from any assembly, from any congregation. When you are converted, you restore. And after restoring, now you're free from the wages of sin. We're told in Genesis chapter 20, and we're reading from verse 3. Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And then in verse 4 says, but Abimelech had not come near her, yet he was already a dead man. The judgment of God was already hanging on him. He had not gone to bed with this woman, but she had taken Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and she was in his house. Although they had not done anything together, yet Abimelech, even though a king, a man of prestige, a man of power, a man of royalty, because of what he had done, he was a dead man already. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Then in verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand have I done this. Verse 6, and now God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know, yes, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. The Bible was not written yet, and yet the word of God said Abimelech was a dead man, spiritually dead. And if he died in that condition, he'll be forever separated from the Almighty God. Even though he couldn't read it in the Bible, the Lord came to him in a dream by night. Now, if we say we're born again and we have the Bible to read, and yet we take other people's wives, we take their affection, we take their love, and we take them away, we take their minds away from their husbands, and then we link them in affection, in lust with ourselves. You might say, I've not touched her, it's only exchange of day or exchange of that. Thou art a dead man, a dead woman. We read in the Bible, we hear in the message, we have the Spirit of God thinking and speaking to our hearts, and yet we don't understand. And Abimelech did not have all that, but just a dream. And the Lord said in that dream, thou art a dead man. And God says, I am God, I change not. His standard at that time is more so his standard today. And then in verse 7 now says, now therefore restore the man his wife. Whatever we have taken from other people, their wives, their money, their substance, their land, the certificate, whatever belongs to other people, they have not given us voluntarily, wholeheartedly, but we have taken because of our authority, because of what we are able to do to them or against them if they ask us of that thing. The Lord has seen if there is conversion, if there's repentance, if we have come to know the Lord, we must restore so we can be free from the wages of sin. Therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, that know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. And then in verse 14 we're told, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. That's the evidence of salvation. It's the evidence that there is freedom from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. There is evidence there. There is freedom from the pride of life. I am a king. I am the man in authority. Abraham cannot do anything. Even if he goes to court, I have the mind of the people over there, and there's nothing Abraham can do against me. Nothing like that. He was free from the pride of life. He was free from the actions the people of the world normally that they take. He restored Abraham, his wife. We're told in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll come to number three. Point number three here, resolve to follow the way of salvation. That's what the apostles did. That's what the disciples did when they heard the word of God and they came to the Lord. Then they followed the Lord and they followed the way of the Savior, the way of salvation, and the way of total surrender and yieldedness unto the Lord. We're looking at John chapter 17, and I'm reading from verse 8. John chapter 17, verse 8, for I have given them the words which thou givest me. The Father gave him the word. And then Jesus received that word and he gave that word to his disciples without taking anything away, without adding anything to it. Just like we ought to do when the Lord has spoken and given us the word, we don't take anything away and we don't add anything. And so, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have received them. A sinner who wants real salvation will not argue with the Savior. The seeker who wants real salvation will not argue with the Savior. The words he speaks about repentance, and the words he speaks about reconciliation with God, the words he speaks about the righteousness of God in man. That's the word we receive. We don't try to say Jesus, but we really have to repent. Jesus, doesn't grace cover everything? Do we have to be righteous? And can't your righteousness be put to my account? And I live the way I want to live, and your righteousness will take me to heaven. When somebody wants real salvation and is serious about getting to heaven, the seeker, the sinner, does not argue with the Savior. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And then he tells us in verse 12, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept them from the world. I kept them from the festivities and the filthiness of the world. While I was with them as their Savior, I kept them from the perversions and the pollutions of the world. It says, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it tells us, John chapter 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them. I was with them, I kept them. I am coming now to heaven, coming to the Father, and I'm praying, Father, in my physical absence, keep them from the evil. I pray the Lord will keep us. He will keep you. John chapter 8, verse 11. In John chapter 8, verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. I condemn your adultery, but I'm not going to stone you. I'm the only one qualified. He that has no sin among you, let him throw, let him cast the first stone. I could have done that, but I came to save. I came to forgive the repentant. I came to cleanse. I came to turn you away from darkness and to the light. I do not condemn you for the past. I want to give you a new slate, a new life, a new heart, that you will turn and you believe on the Lord and your life will become totally different. But now go and sin no more. That's following the Lord. Go and sin no more. He that committed sin is of the devil. If you keep on committing sin, if you keep on living an immoral life, if you keep on living in transgression, you'll be of the devil. If you have been saved and you have resolved to follow the Lord, then you will not continue those other things. Go and sin no more. We come to number two now. Number two, consecration before sanctification and consecration after sanctification. Whatever we lay on the altar while we're seeking the Lord for sanctification, for the circumcision of the heart, for the purifying of the heart, whatever we lay on the altar, we don't say, I'm sanctified now, I will draw my sanctification. It's like if you went to pay money for a commodity and you put the money there and maybe you do it through your account, and now you got the commodity, and then you go to the bank and then you withdraw the money from the company. You say, I've got the commodity, I withdraw the money. You can't do that. Whatever you lay on the altar, and sanctification has become yours now, you keep on the altar. Consecration before and after the sanctification. We're looking at John chapter 17, and I'm reading from verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Verse 20, in verse 20 it says, neither pray I for these alone, that you sanctify them, but I pray for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. He prayed for those initial disciples, sanctify them. And he's praying for us. Neither do I pray for these in front of me alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. They've written those words down. They've given us the epistles. They've given us the gospels. We've read them, and through them we believed. Through them we're saved. And he said, as we believe for salvation through their word, he now prays for us that which you will be sanctified. Verse 21, in verse 21, that they all, the initial disciples and the latter day disciples, that they all, those initial disciples and the disciples of the Lord today, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, not one outside us. If we go outside Christ, outside the word of God, and there is unity outside there, that's union, labor union, church union, denominational union, men's union, women's union, sinners union. If we're going to remain in the unity that Christ prayed for, we must remain in Christ and remain in the words of Christ, that they may be one in us. Then it says, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The purpose of the unity, the purpose of the oneness, is that we so live different from the world that the world will take note that these are not like us. And because they recognize that we, the church, in oneness with the Father and the Son, we're not like them, it will make them to understand that this is a supernatural life, a supernatural oneness, a supernatural unity, and the world will believe that the Father had sent the Son. We're coming to three things here. Number one, the commitment of saved souls to the Savior. Number two, the consecration in total submission for sanctification. Number three, the controllability, that is the skill, the art of controlling us, the controllability of the sanctified by the sanctifier. We're coming to number one. Number one is the commitment of saved souls to the Savior. John chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? The Lord had preached the word that appeared difficult and hard for the superficial followers. And so they went back. And the Lord asked a question now of the disciples. Will ye also go away? Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. We were searching for eternal life. We couldn't find it in religion. We couldn't find it in circumcision. We couldn't find it in self-righteousness. We couldn't find it in the teachings of the high priest and the priest and the Sanhedrin. We find the words of eternal life in you. Thou hast the words of eternal life. In verse 69, and we believe and we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Six souls totally identifying with the Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. In verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Commitment totally unto the Lord, because he died for us. He loved us. And that love of Christ that sent him to Calvary constrains us, that because he died for us, we're now dead to the world. We're dead to the flesh. We're dead to our past life. Because he died, we now voluntarily and completely, wholeheartedly die to the world. We are dead to the world too. We are deaf to the world. The world will speak. The world will shout. The world will try to call us back and call us away from the Lord. We are dead to the world. We are deaf to the world. We are dumb to the world. We don't even answer them. We act as if we don't hear their calling. Deaf to the world. And we're quiet. We just pursue and follow after what we believe the Lord has called us to. There's a severance. There is a separation between us and the world. They may shout, they may scream, they may call. We are dead, we are deaf, we are dumb to the world. And that is the commitment of the saved soul unto the Lord. We're looking at number two here. Number two, the consecration in total submission. Total submission for sanctification. We look at John chapter 17, verse 8. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me," because they have received your word. They didn't reject your word. They didn't revise, review your word. They didn't retouch your word. They accepted the word. They believed the word. They gave in to the word. They submitted to the word completely, without any rival coming to rival with the Savior who had spoken, and without any reservation and without any retreat. They have totally submitted themselves unto the Lord and to his word. That's why now, seeing that surrender, he could pray for their sanctification. In verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." 2 Samuel chapter 15, reading from verse 15. "And a king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." We wanted to do other things before. We abandoned that. We wanted to follow a particular way before. Now you are Lord. Now we submit to you as Lord, Savior, and Sanctifier. We abandon that. We were hearing the voice of another master, another Lord before. But now, because you have given your life and you have saved us, we have pushed away and rejected the lordship of any other Lord. We surrender unto you. Our past has been dealt with. Our past has been forgiven. Our present has been renewed because of the grace of God. Our future is brightened because of our faith in the Lord. We owe everything we are today, everything we will be in the future. We owe everything to you. We lay everything now on the altar. Behold now, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Maybe to climb a hill, we're ready. To go the valley, we're ready. To deny self, we're ready. To bear the cross, we're ready. And to follow your word at every turn of life, we're ready. That is consecration. That we're not in argument with God as to, okay, 50-50 Jesus, tell me some, I tell you some, and we share the decisions of life together. Not at all. Whatsoever the Lord, my King, shall command, that I am ready to do. That's the consecration in total submission for our sanctification. We come to number three here. Number three, the controllability of the sanctified by the sanctifier. It tells us in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them. Sanctify them. Jesus was praying to the Father. Now, if we could sanctify ourselves by ourselves, Jesus would not need to pray. If sanctification was a gradual, progressive thing, that as we come to church, as we read the Bible, as we sing the songs, as we mature and grow, we grow into sanctification, Jesus will not have to pray to the Father to do it. He prayed because this is only what God could do. As he has promised that he will sanctify our hearts. As he has promised that he will take the stony heart out of our flesh. The Lord Jesus was now praying, do what you have said, sanctify them. Through thy truth, you understand, error cannot save. False doctrine cannot save. Deception cannot save. Motivational talk, deceiving people, they're all right when they're not all right, that cannot save, that cannot sanctify. Giving false assurance to people, that cannot save, that cannot sanctify. Only the truth, the word, points the way of sanctification. Only the truth, the word, points to the sanctifier. Only the truth, the word, points to the effect and the result of the sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 21, in verse 21, that they all may be one. That the mighty evidence of sanctification. Anybody can testify, anybody can proclaim, anybody can profess, anybody can write it down, I am sanctified. The heaven sent and Christ affirming evidence of sanctification, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. In verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The grace I have given them. The beauty of holiness, the splendor, the glory, I have given them. The strength and the power to live the sanctified life and to live a purified life, I have given unto them. The virtue that thou givest me, I have given them. The distinction of life that Jesus Christ lived, that glorious, virtuous, distinctive life by the presence of the Father, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. Whatever we have, the sanctification, that they may be one. the glory that they may be one, the virtue that they may be one, the skill that they may be one, and the splendor and the beauty of holiness that I possess, I have given them for one purpose, that they may be one. What do you have? What has been given unto you? What you have, does it bring you away from the household of faith and from the children of God? I have this, I have that, and then you are proud. That thing was not given by heaven. The glory, the virtue, the strength, the splendor, the beauty of holiness, the great experience you have given me, I've given unto them, that they also may be one. That's the reason he has given us, even as we, Father and Son, the Father and Jesus Christ are one. Then in verse 23, he says, I in them, and thou in me. Think about that. Thou, Father, in me, Christ. I with Father in him, in them. That's the strength of the believer. He saves us. He sanctifies us. He lives in us. He thinks through us. He plans for us. He discusses with us. He shares the mind of the Father with us. His power in us propels us, directs us. Thou in me, I in them, that they may be made perfect in one. As he lives in us, he walks in us, he operates in us, that he will perfect us within, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Welcome to number 3.3 now. In point 3, the conservation for and in his service. Conservation for his service. He calls us to serve, and he conserves and preserves us in that service. What he gave us before he called us into service, he preserves in us. And then after we enter the service, he conserves us for in his service, so that the power we had as we enter the service, it doesn't fizzle away. The strength we had after entering the service, that strength does not wane, does not go down. And the passion we had, the earnestness we had before we entered into the service, that earnestness still remains as we come into the service of the Lord, and we keep on in pursuance of the result, the reward, the final effect in ministry. Conservation for and in his service. We're looking at John chapter 17, verse 18. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so sent have I sent them into the world. As thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so in like manner. For the same reason, for the same purpose, with the same word, with the same commission, have I also sent them into the world. Verse 24. In verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, the conservation of true servants in his holy sanctuary. Number two, the commission for trained seed sowers in the highest service. Number three, the continuation of transformed saints with the heavenly sovereign, the heavenly Lord. Number one, the conservation of true servants for his holy sanctuary. It tells us in John chapter 17, verse 11, it says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, the Most High Father, keep them together, one. If they continue to argue about who is the greatest, they won't do the work. If they begin to argue who has the highest authority and the highest power, who may be a ruler over us, if they continue in unsanctified argument, jostling for position, the work will not be done. Sanctify them and keep them out of that kind of pride. Holy Father, keep them, those thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Sanctify them. If they continue to say, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him. If they continue like that, and they say they are the only ones that can do the work, and nobody must share in the work being done, the work will never be done. Therefore, Father, keep them from that unsanctified discrimination of life. Keep them, sanctify them, and keep them away from that kind of personality pursuit, so that they will be one. They see anyone casting out devils in my name, that they all should be one. They see anyone that is preaching the gospel, is reaching to that region, and they are reaching to this region, that they all may be one. They see one having another responsibility different from them, that they'll not be so conscious of their personality, of their position. They'll not be so conscious and then grab everything to themselves and drive other people away. Sanctify them. That's what the Lord, that's the reason why the Lord is asking for sanctification, that we allow the women to do what God calls them to do in the vineyard, will allow the men to do what God has called them to do. Will allow the young adults and the youth to do what the Lord has called them to do. Will allow all the various sections, and will allow all the other denominations, all the other churches to do what the Lord has called them to do. And if anyone of skill, of ability comes to us and he says, I want to take part in the work, we're sanctified, we open the door and we give them chance and we give them all that it takes so that we are one in his holy sanctuary and in his holy service. It tells us in verse 12. In verse 12 it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. My presence with them hindered John and James, James and John, from calling down fire upon the Samaritans. That's why I was praying for their sanctification, because they will not allow Christ to pass through Samaria. James and John said, let's call down fire upon them. That kind of boisterous temper, that kind of quick temper, that kind of hungry disposition, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. While I was with them, I kept them from calling down fire upon the Samaritans. That's why those Samaritans were still there when Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And with one accord they received and believed the word. And there was great joy in that city because Christ had kept them when he was yet with them, kept them from calling fire upon Samaria, sanctified them. When they are sanctified, you'll keep them from that kind of attitude, always wanting to fight, always wanting to call down fire, always wanting to disturb other people's lives that are not in total agreement with their culture. Sanctify them. While I was yet with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost into anger. None of them is lost into violence. None of them is lost into the world of evil. But the son of perdition, that's Judas Iscariot, money took him away. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, looking for a betrayer, pulled him away. And the lust in his own heart made the keeping virtue and power of the Lord not to work on his life. He was the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. In verse 13, it says in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, the joy of finishing the work of the Lord, that my joy may be fulfilled in themselves. I pray that the Lord will keep us in his holy service. Amen.
Amen.
In his holy sanctuary.
Amen.
And in his holy word, in the scriptures, forever, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jude, reading from verse 21. In Jude chapter 1, verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That kind of love that God has manifested for the world, keep yourself in the love of God, that they may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Keep yourself in that superlative love of God that he had for Christ and he has for you. Keep yourself in the love of God, that you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That every time and everywhere, whatever is happening, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you love the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And you love the brethren as I have loved you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, and love your neighbor as yourself. As God has loved the world, giving them rain and sunshine without any discrimination. And he gives them that so that he will not leave himself without a witness, and he'll bring many people unto himself. Keep yourself. The temptation will come, the trial will come. As saved, we should be fed up of love. We shouldn't love, because after all, the more we love, and look at the way they, you know, what they do against us. Don't allow temptation, trial, or whatever is happening in the world to decrease the love of God in you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then in verse 24, it says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, he will keep you from falling. And then it says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Number two, is the commission for trained seed sowers. We are the seed sowers. The sower went forth to sow the word, and he wants to keep us in the highest service. The commission for trained seed sowers in the highest service. It tells us in John chapter 17 and verse 18. John 17, reading from verse 18. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so sent I have also sent them into the world. The Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to call the world out of sin to salvation. In that same way, the Lord is sending us into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Chapter 4 of John, verse 34. In chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together, Verse 37, and here in, is that saying true? One soweth, another reapeth. Verse 38, I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Chapter 20 of John, reading from verse 21. In John chapter 20, verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You. Who is the you? You are the one. You'll be obedient in Jesus' name. Committed in Jesus' name. Fervent to do the will of God, the word of God in Jesus' name. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We're looking at number three here. Number three, the continuation of transformed saints with the heavenly sovereign, the heavenly Lord. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, saved, sanctified, those whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ had been with the Father from before the foundation of the world, from all eternity. And in eternity it was decided that man will be created. It was known that man will fall. Then a redeemer was demanded. And the Son, in love to the Father, in love to the creation of the Father, the Son had volunteered, had given himself, that he were come to die for the sins of humanity. Because of that, although the Father had loved him, even before that, the Lord, the Father, now loved him very much, because he was going to sacrifice his life for the salvation of the world. It says, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. And these ones that were saved and sanctified by his sacrifice, he wanted them to be convinced that the Father also loved them, loved us, and the Father has loved the Son, and that they will be with him, and we shall be with him all through eternity. In verse 25, O righteous Father, have you noticed how Jesus addressed the Father? Holy Father, he hates all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. Righteous Father, he hates all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Verse 26, it says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. I have declared your name, and will still keep on declaring it, that thy love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Not human love that one can stop during the storm, during trial, during difficulty, during misunderstanding, but the supernatural love of God planted in the heart of those who are sanctified. It says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. May the Lord fulfill that in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. And that when the Lord himself shall come, he will find his love, his sanctifying love, his sanctified love, his uniting love, his purifying love, his powerful, mighty, irreversible love, his everlasting love, that he'll find that in us. The love that does not have any depravity, the love that does not have any original sin, the Lord that does not have any kind of oppressive nature, the love that is transparent, and the love that is similar to the love of Christ, that love, spiritual, supernatural, transparent, may be in all our hearts, all our lives, all the days of our lives, in Jesus' name. That the love that he has given us, the love of Christ, as Christ had that love, and he had that love, and he kept on preaching the word, and he kept on evangelizing the world, whatever betides, whatever the storm, whatever the difficulty, the permanent love and the perfect love of Christ, the love that has no change, and the love that has no alteration, the love that comes in at sanctification, and the hatred of the world, and the difficulties in the world, and the temptations in the world, and the resistance of the world, and the misbehavior of the world, and the action of the sinner, the kind of love that nothing will change, that nothing will alter, that he will give us that love, and then we'll keep on doing the work of God in the love of God, without looking here, looking there, without being diverted from the process and the purpose of our calling, that love will abide in our hearts forever. That God himself will take away the so-called love which is selfish, the so-called love which is self-centered, the so-called love which is society-based, the so-called love which is based on I like this, I don't like this, that the universal love of Christ at sanctification, at the purifying of the heart, that universal love, that the very love of Christ will dwell in our heart, that rain or sunshine, that up or down, that whatever condition of the world, that whatever condition we may find ourselves, that God himself, by the operation of sanctification, by the grace of God, that he will write the word of love in our heart, that he'll put in us the very nature and the very virtue of love in our heart, that every time we love God, we love man, we love the people of the world, to take the word of salvation unto them, that they will not care for anything that happens in the world, but the great overflowing love of Christ will be in our hearts, overflowing and getting to the people of the world, to bring them into the kingdom, that will endure anything, will serve anywhere, so that this sanctifying love that will save the world will be in your heart, will be in my heart, will be in our hearts together. And everywhere we go, you know, when somebody is carrying a pail, a bucket of water, if you jolt him a little, it is what is inside that will come out. And when that love fills our heart and we're pushed a little, jolted a little, and whatever happens, it is the love of God in the heart that will spill out to the people around us. I pray that that love will overflow in every one of our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer, that this love will overflow in our hearts, that this love will move us, will drive us, so that we will preach the word of God without any fear. We'll preach the word of God without yielding to trials and difficulties and troubles around us, that the love of Christ that made him to come all the way from heaven into this world to come and save the sinners, that same love will fill our hearts and will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as he has commanded. Open your heart and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. And I open my heart unto you. I open my life unto you. I'm completely, completely yielded unto you. I'm completely surrendered unto you. O love of God, overflowing. O love of God, superabundant. O love of God, gracious, glorious. O love of God, come, fill my heart. Whatever is contrary to your love, fullness of love, perfection of love, whatever is contrary to your love, take that away from my heart. Plant your love in my heart. He saves and he sanctifies. As he saves us, he gives us the grace to go and sin no more. He forgives our past. He sets us free from the pollutions of the past. He breaks the yoke of cancelled sin. Gives us a new heart, a new disposition, a new attitude. Grace, virtue, divine ability he gives us after saving us. After salvation, he commands, go and sin no more. Change of life, change of character, change of direction in life, change of habit, change of understanding, change even in society. The people we used to adore as sinners, we don't adore them anymore. We take our lives away from the people of the world who love to pollute, perverse the way of the Lord. We become dead to the world. deaf to the world, dumb to the world. The noise of the world attracts us no more. The lust of the world pulls us no more. The pride of life attracts us no more. The shame, degradation, sinful habits, the things the world is proud about, holds no affection, attraction to us anymore. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Holy Father, keep them from the evil in the world. When you are in agreement with the Lord, He'll keep you from the evil and the devilishness of the world. And He prays for sanctification. I want you to lay everything we have on His altar. Our love for Him, our appreciation for Him, our devotion unto Him, our respect all for Him, our obedience all consecrated unto Him, our inner life all yielded unto Him, our aspirations, our ambition all laid on His altar, our personality, our self-respect, our self-possession, our dignity we give unto Him. Everything we have, we want to serve Him with all in our possession. That consecration we have before sanctification. And after sanctification, we maintain that consecration unto Him. And we do not allow any rival for our love. There's no retreat from being and giving our all unto Him. There's no readjustment of our consecration. Did I give all? Did I give too much? Want to give more if we can unto Him. And then it's with that sanctification, with that consecration, with that submission, with that laying everything on the altar, He comes and He sanctifies our heart. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we keep on recommitting everything to the Lord, resurrendering everything to the Lord, day after day. Be serious unbroken consecration to the Lord, we keep on following the Lord as Lord, as sovereign, not branching to the right or branching to the left, and we remain one in Him, one with Him, one for Him, one in doctrine, one in deeds, one in devotion, one in purpose, one in passion, zeal, one in practice, one in pursuit, in one accord with Christ, with the believers, with the church, with the people of like precious faith, one accord, one affection, and the one assignment He has given unto us, one. One from the depths of the heart. One in heavenly mindedness. One in hope. And the love of God fills our hearts. The love of God, the love like Christ's, the love for the saints, the love for the salvation of the world, that nothing hinders. Pray that the real biblical evidence of present sanctification will be in your heart, and your life will reflect the great operation of sanctification in the heart. Pray that the Lord will keep you in His service, serving with a sanctified heart, without looking back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank You for bringing us to Your presence, speaking to us by Your Spirit. We pray that everything we've heard and learned, You implant in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. That the real heaven-sent, God-honoring experience of sanctification will be ours, one by one, all together, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that the strength, the vigor, the virtue, the glory, the splendor of that holiness experience, without which no man shall see the Lord, that the real experience will be in every heart of every submissive, consecrated child of God, in Jesus' name. We pray that to all around, and to the angels of God in heaven, and to God himself, and to Christ our sanctifier, that this experience will be visible and evident in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that the result of this experience, the unity, the obedience, and the love, and the service unto the Lord, without any reservation, and without any distraction, without any diversion, we pray, Lord, that this heaven-sent experience will be visible, evident in every life, in Jesus' name. At home, in church, in the society, in the marketplace, in the office, everywhere we go, people will know that the hand of the Lord has totally transformed us. And that the love of God, it overflows from our heart to God, to the people of God, and to sinners, to bring them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. The world is not reading the Bible. Lord, as the people look at our lives, they would read the Bible in our lives in Jesus' name. And you bring souls into the kingdom by the powerful drive of the sanctification experience you have given us in Jesus' name. Do it, Lord. Confirm it in every heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.